I'm so glad that you're here today, and today I'm excited to open up God's Word. If you have a Bible or Bible app, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We're going to get there in just a second. But I'm excited about what God wants to do this morning. And this morning, as we open up God's Word, every time we open His Word, I believe He wants to speak to us. He wants to reveal Himself to us. In fact, this morning, before we even get into the message this morning, I want to just pray that the Lord would open our hearts, open our eyes to see, and open our ears to hear what He wants to say to us. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open Your Word this morning, we invite You to meet us here. God, we believe that Your Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. You're able to speak when we open Your Word. And so this morning, we invite You to speak to us today. Lord, I pray that you'd open our ears to hear what You want to say, that You'd open our eyes to see You in a new way today. And God, that You'd open our minds to understand what You want to teach us today from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I get to look at one of my favorite miracles of Jesus. You know, that's kind of the way it works when you go through a book of the Gospels. You get to see all the miracles of Jesus. And today we get to look at one that is a personal favorite of mine because it's so applicable. See, as a dad of a largest family, I like this miracle because this is a miracle about how Jesus fed 5,000 men, not including women and children, with just a little bit of food. And this is kind of a miracle that I need around my house just about every week. Right? Every time we sit down at the dinner table, I feel like, Lord, I need You to do that. In fact, every time my family grows, every time, you know, a new child is born in my house, it seems like it's every other year, but we're done, by the way. But every time it happens, I find myself in this scripture saying, all right, Lord, I need to discover the secret, the truth of how to multiply food, because I just kind of need that in my life. I don't know about you, but that's what I need. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about this miracle of Jesus providing food for many people. In fact, this is something that's, again, very near to my heart. Jesus is about to go into a remote location. He's basically going to go camping. And he goes camping and he needs food for all these people. And this is something I get. My family and I love to go camping. And a couple times a year we'll go camping. And, you know, we got a plan and we got to get a little checklist of all the things we got to bring along and all the food and all the stuff. And something that I understand in my regular life, but especially as we go camping with a troop, we bring a bunch of guys and a bunch of boys camping. We've got to do some major preparation to go camping. In fact, about this time last year, we were headed out to go camping, and my boys and I had to go to Costco, our favorite store, and we had to get ready to feed these 25 or so dads and boys that were going to go camping. In fact, I believe I've got a picture of what that looks like. This was our haul for just 2 days of camping. You see, a giant pallet of food. I don't know if you saw the bacon, but we had bacon. It was glorious. But this is what it takes to feed about 25 guys for just a couple days out in the woods. And we ate well, by the way. I won't say that we didn't. But this morning, I want you to imagine if instead of a pallet like that, when you went out into the wilderness with a bunch of people, Jesus said to you, instead of all of that sort of food, I want you to feed 5,000 with just what you've got in your lunchbox, all right? With just what you got around. And so here's the deal. Jesus goes with us, and Jesus goes with us to do impossible things when we go with Him. And so I want to look at the story of Jesus, Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 10. We're going to read about seven verses this morning. So you can read along with me, follow along on the screen. And on their return, Jesus had sent the apostles out. He had sent them out to do good works. If you remember last week as we opened up God's Word, He sent them out to go and bless people, to heal the sick and to do good works and to share the good news of the gospel. And on their return, the apostles told Him all that they had done. And He took them, and He withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed Him, and He welcomed them. And He spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured all who had need of healing. Now, the day began to wear away, and the 12 came to Him, and they said, they're like, hey, Jesus, right? Jesus, send send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodgings and to get provisions. They're starting to get hungry out there, Jesus. They're starting to get restless, Jesus. Send them away so they can go take care of themselves. For we are here, they said, in a desolate place. But he, Jesus, said to them, you give them something to eat. Turn to the person next to you and say, you give them something to eat. This is a conversation we have in my house all the time. I said, honey, the natives are getting restless. Feed them. And she says, you give them something to eat. I'm sorry, that's just my personal application. They said, we have no more than five loaves. Say five loaves. Five loaves of bread. And two fish. Say two fish. Unless we're to go and buy food for all these people. And there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And when they did so, and had them all sit down, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven. And he said a blessing over them. And he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. Say satisfied. Oh, they were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces. See, Jesus and his disciples are on their way to a retreat. You ever gone on your way to a retreat? You ever been somewhere, you're like, man, I'm going to go relax. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to go be away from the noise and the chaos. And Jesus is taking these disciples to a retreat, and they're stopped in the middle of their tracks by this great crowd with needs. And the crowd, they followed Jesus and his disciples, knowing that, man, Jesus was the only hope they had to be healed of their brokenness, of the things that they had going on. So they followed Jesus out into this wilderness area so they could find help for their needs. And I just want to share this truth with you. There's a couple things I want to take away from this scripture. The first is this, that lost, hurting people matter to God, and they should matter to us as well. They matter to God. They matter to Jesus enough to stop. And this is a core value of ours. It's a core facet of our culture around here as a church family. And we take this one seriously because as a follower of Jesus, I believe that God found me. He found me. He found me through his church, who was a church that was on mission that said, man, we want to invite someone to come and hear this good news. See, I was lost, and I was broken, and I was hurting. And even though I grew up in a very nice suburban home, and even though I had all my physical needs met, and on the outside I looked okay, I was desperately in need of a transformation of my soul. I needed a newness of life in my spirit. And God found me. See, I was broken. I was not right with God, and God found me. He used his church. In fact, he used the simplicity of an invitation to draw me into his church that I might hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And as a result of that simple invitation, by the way, that's why we give you invitations, because there's power in an invitation. There's power when we'll give an invitation. But that simple invitation transformed my life. It transformed not just my life, but my eternal life. And my future as well. See, what I love about Jesus, though, is that no matter what he's planning or what he's up to or what's going on in his story, wherever that he's on his way to, when people find their way to Jesus, he's always got time. Jesus has always got time for us. And Jesus is never too busy for us. He's never too busy for us. No matter what's going on, he's never too busy. See, Jesus took these men, and they were withdrawing to a desolate place. And by the way, Jesus, as the disciples come back to him, his followers come back to him, this is the first time they're called apostles. It's an interesting thing to note. But these 12, he receives them back after their brief mission. Jesus had sent them out to go bless, to go heal, to go do what he had called them to do. And when they come back, man, they're ready. They're ready to kind of relax. Let me just tell you something. If you know anything about serving people, maybe you serve people. I worked for years and years in customer service, and I loved taking care of people and serving people, but when I got home, I was tired, right? Just talking with people and being with people and loving on people and hanging out with people. Like, I get home, and I was just like, I just melt into my chair when I got home because I was tired. And I would imagine that these guys were tired in the same way. There's something amazing about pouring our lives out to make a difference in others. It brings us alive, but it also has this tendency to kind of make us a little bit tired too. And that's, I believe, what happened to these apostles as they come home. So after doing the work of the ministry, these disciples, they come back to Jesus, and they're tired. They need a refresher. They need a day off, right? They need to go hang out with George and hit the links, right? Go golfing with George and relax a little bit. But instead, as they're on their way, something intervenes. And I believe Jesus was wanting to teach the disciples something, that after they came back from this mission, after they came back from serving God and giving their life really to others, Jesus was wanting for his disciples to understand a principle that he understood well. See, Jesus was always going off to desolate places. He'd serve and he'd pour his life out and he'd love people and he'd bless and he'd heal the sick, and then he'd go out to a desolate place. Why? To be with his Father, so that he could fill his tank up, so that he could recharge his batteries. And let me just pause for a moment to say this. Friend, you need to learn to recharge your own batteries. God has called us to a lifetime of service. And it doesn't matter what sort of call God has on your life, be that in the secular workplace, what we would call the secular workplace, or working in the church for the Lord, or working in some other capacity, or homeschooling your children, or raising a family, or whatever it is that God has called you to, there's no beginning and end. Sometimes we like to think of that, like this is when I entered the workforce, and this is when I retired, and now I'm done. But when God calls us, he calls us to serve him for all of our days. What that means is that when you're retired, you're not retired from loving and serving the Lord. He's got more for you indeed. And so in order for us to walk with Jesus over the long haul, we've got to learn to fill ourselves up, to recharge our batteries, to be filled. Because here's the truth. I can only pour out what has first been poured into me. See, if I'm going to pour out, I've got to have myself be filled up. Now, some of you would look at this and say it's half full. Some of you would say it's half empty, right? But the deal is it's a fillable cup. I can keep filling it up, right? But the reality is God wants to give you everything you need to serve and to do what he's created you to do. And that requires us continually going back to be filled up, to be recharged, and ready ourselves for the work that he wants us to do. The problem is that some of us, man, we pour ourselves out, we empty the cup. I don't have a big enough mouth to drink all of that, but we empty the cup over time, and we take another sip, and we take another sip, and we pour a little bit out here, and we pour a little bit out there, and then before we know it, our cup is empty, and we're like, God, what's up? God, I'm empty. And God's like, dude, go fill yourself up. And God wants us to learn to do that. I believe Jesus was wanting his disciples to understand there's a principle at work that you've got to go fill yourself up after you've poured yourself out. And I can only pour out what I've been poured into. So I can only have, when I have time with Jesus, that's when I can serve others. That's when I can pour out my life to other people. Because lost, hurting people, they matter to God. And God wants us to say they matter to me too. As followers of Jesus, we should live in such a way that we reorient our lives, we reorient our schedules, our focus, to stop looking so long just in the mirror saying, look at me, poor me, it's all about me. Instead of that, we say, God, you've filled me up. What would you have me do? How would you have me live my life in this world? How would you have me love people like you loved me? How would you have me search for lost people as you sent someone to search for me and invite me into the family of God? God, how would you do that with my life? And that can only happen if we've allowed ourselves to be poured into. Some of us, that's going to be the moment we first give our lives to Jesus, and God implants in us part of his Spirit. He gives us his Holy Spirit as the first deposit of what he wants to do. But over and over again, we say, God, I need you to fill me up so that I'm ready to do what you want me to do. Now, over and over again in the scriptures, God describes himself as the source of water. And he uses this metaphor of water because I think we all understand the importance of it. You can read the book of Revelation, see at the very end, there's this river of living water that God says flows from his throne. And in ancient times, the first person to dig a well in a new land, if you'd go to a new territory, So you go up to Alaska right now, you got to stake a claim. But in the olden times, if you wanted to stake a claim, the way you did it is you'd start digging a well. And the first person to dig a well in a region, man, they were like the claim owner of that area. And they understood that where water was, life was, right? The person who had water, man, they could raise crops. They could grow food in a desert land. And if you could grow food, you could sustain life. And if you could sustain life, man, you could start having a flock of sheep or whatever sort of animals you wanted to have. So water was very important. And why do I say that? Because water is important. Water is a big deal. In fact, a few weeks ago, I hiked up into a desolate place with my son Ezra. And when we arrived, we were a bit tired, a bit thirsty from the long travel. And we found this amazing thing that, man, first of all, our water bottles were empty by the time we got there. We were so hot and dry and parched. And we looked on the map and we saw just a little bit away is this place that you see on the screen. And this place is called Little Jimmy Spring. And when we arrived, we found the most amazing thing. See, in the middle of the heat of the day, it was like 18,000 degrees outside at least, right? And we had these giant 4 million pound backpacks on. Okay, maybe it wasn't that heavy, but we had these huge backpacks on and it was hot and we were sweating and I had sweat pouring down. And there in the middle of the forest, we walk over and we find this thing. And this doesn't look like much to you now, but it's like 50 degree water pouring out of this thing in the heat of the day. And it was glorious. And we filled our water bottles up. And then, man, we're like, man, someone left the water on. So we decided we'd pour water over our heads and head to toe, we're just dripping with this cool water. If you've ever like dunked yourself in water on a hot day, it's like so refreshing. And I was reminded of this because I thought to myself, how come everyone doesn't walk up to this mountaintop and come to the spring? It's amazing, right? Like it was like, maybe I was really, really thirsty. I don't know. But it was amazing. It was life-giving. It was transforming. And it was a really odd, by the way, to walk away. That thing just kept running and running and running. As we walked away, I said, Ezra, turn off the water, dude. Don't leave the water running. I told you a million times. I was joking, obviously. But it just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. And our lives are like that. See, when it gets hot, when we find ourselves on a dusty road where it's dry and difficult, we've got to again and again return to the fountainhead of living water and say, Lord, I need you to fill my cup up. It's empty. Man, I had a big cup. I had a lot of water bottles when I left my house, but I'm empty now, God. I need you to fill up my cup. I need you to fill me up. And here's what Jesus says in John 7:38. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And I believe that's the picture of what God wants to do through our lives and in our lives, that we would have within us a source of refreshment, not only for ourselves, but for the refreshment of others, that just like that little stream that just poured out of the rock from the middle of nowhere, that we would be like that everywhere we went, that we would pour forth streams of living water. See, Jesus is in the middle of teaching his apostles this important truth. When this crowd comes up, and man, they kind of break into Jesus's teaching moment. And let me just say something. It's so easy to miss the mission of God. It's so easy to miss the mission of God. There's so many good things we can do with our time, isn't there? And that doesn't just mean like stuff you do outside of these walls. Even as a church, it's easy to get in the building and miss Jesus. To start looking at the facade and saying, man, God, this is a great building you've given us. It's amazing. It's easy to go to a Bible study and study God's word and miss the heart of God, the heartbeat of God, that he's called us to love people. That he's called us to serve people, to bless people, because that's what it's all about. People, at the end of the day, are the things that God came to rescue. And I thank God every day that we have a building to meet in as a church family. I thank God every day that we have all the resources we have to do ministry in the way that we can do them. But we must never lose sight that this is all about people, because people matter to God. All people, rich people, poor people, black people, white people, old people and young people, female people and male people. See, there's no distinction to God. He loves all people, all of them. And Jesus was never inconvenienced by people. That's what I want to finish that little point by saying. See, Jesus welcomes us and says, man, we matter to him. And we're important enough to him to stop whatever he's doing. But sometimes we think when it comes to serving God that we don't have anything to offer him. We think to ourselves, God, I've seen other people's Instagram accounts. I've seen what they're posting pictures of. And it doesn't matter whether it's ministry, whether it's what you do as a profession, whether it's your hobby. Well, it doesn't matter what it is that you're talking about. If we go on social media these days, we can always find someone who's doing it better, right? I can always find someone who's killing it, whatever it is that I do. And it's so easy to compare those things. But here's the big idea. Jesus wants to use what you do have to make a difference in the lives of others. And sometimes we look at our size of our gifts or the size of our abilities or the size of our offering or the size of our time that we can give to the Lord and we say, man, God, I don't have what they have. I don't have what I think I want to give. And we focus on what we don't have. And then we find ourselves in this comparison game, don't we? Comparing our gift to their gift. Our time to their time. Our ability to their ability. And we must allow God to use what he's given us. See, Jesus, what I love about this picture is that the disciples are saying, Jesus, send the crowd away. We can't handle it. Send them away. We can't deal with them. There's too many of them for us and too little resources. The problem is too big and our ability, our provision is too small. So Jesus, send them away. And what do they say? They say, we got nothing for them. Our supply is too small. And let me just say again, I know I use this a lot, but man, this is how I feel every night at dinner time. Doesn't matter how big our meal is, right? I make a giant pot of rice and beans. What doesn't matter what it is? I put it out and it's like, it's gone, right? In fact, every night at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the natives start getting restless around my house. They start gnawing on the furniture and eating things that look like food. And we just got to start throwing food at them to make sure that they don't eat us and kill us. That's when the hunger sets in. But this real thing we've learned is that, man, we've got to feed them that no matter how big our meal is, if without God's blessing, man, it's going to just be gone. There's nights I fix so much food, I think there's no way they could ever eat this. We're going to have leftovers for a month, and it's gone. My wife leaves the table to go to the bathroom and comes back. I'm like, honey, there's no food for you left. They ate it all. It's gone. But I believe that sometimes we think that way with God. We think, God, my gift is too small. The need is too big. There's too much going on. I can't possibly make a difference with this thing. And we bring it to God thinking, God, it's not nearly enough. And Jesus was teaching them this principle. If you want to make a difference, then offer to God what you have and allow him to do the rest. That's it. That's it. We can't compare ourselves because here's the truth, that my gift plus God's power, it's always enough. In fact, would you say those words with me? My gift plus God's power is always enough. So there they are standing in front of a massive crowd, 5,000 men, not even to mention all the women and children. By the way, they like to eat too, right? They're hungry too this time of night. And Jesus tells his disciples, he says, you feed them. Now, I can imagine the thoughts that were rolling around in the disciples' head. If Jesus were standing in front of me and I'm standing in front of a crowd of 5,000, he says, you feed them. I'm starting to think, okay, how do I feed a crowd cheap? All right, pizza. Pizza, right? Okay, so there's 8 slices of pizza, maybe a slice per person. All right, I'm going to need 625 pizzas. Wow, right? But oh wait, they got all their wives and children. They like to eat too. I'm going to have to get like 1,000 pizzas. Jesus, I'm going to go look in my Dave Ramsey envelope system, right, Josh? Because I've learned how to budget. So they're looking in their Dave Ramsey envelope for going out to dinner budget. It's like $3. No, it's not enough. They're looking around saying, Jesus, there's no way we can do this. I can't imagine we're going to be able to feed $1,000 worth of, 1,000 pizzas worth of men with what we've got. But they didn't understand that God will take exactly what you've got. And he'll do something amazing with it if you'll simply offer it up to him. See, my gift plus God's power is always enough. And I don't know how Jesus did this miracle, But that's what happens. In fact, we'll look at it. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each, and they did so. And when they sat them down, he took the five loaves and the two fish, and he looked up to heaven, and he said a blessing over them. And he broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples, and they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. See, Jesus takes what they did have, and he asks for a blessing from the Father, and that's where the miracle comes, because there's power in the blessing of God. In fact, would you say those words with me? There is power in the blessing of God. See, the blessing of God can do things that in our natural sense we would never be able to accomplish. God can take our small offerings and do exceedingly abundantly, more than we ever could have imagined. See, when the blessing of God comes, there's things that will take place that we never could have imagined, because the power of God's blessing far exceeds anything we could do in our own abilities. There's something powerful that happens when someone of great ability stands up and says, God, I'm going to give you everything. But let me just say something. There's no less power when someone with a small ability says, Jesus, would you use what I have to do something great? And I believe God can do just as big a miracle, in fact, even a bigger miracle, because they got less to work with. When someone will say, God, this is all I got, but it's all I got. This is all I got, Jesus, but it's everything I have, and I surrender it to you. And I believe God can do amazing things with that. See, God is a God of multiplication. He'll take our gifts and our abilities and our powers, and with his blessing, he'll multiply our effectiveness. He'll multiply our offering. In fact, it's one of the reasons I believe in partnering with church planters around the world, because, man, the reason that we sow into those sort of works as a church, because I can take seeds of faith and say, God, would you do something great? And we can plant a church that's going to grow, and then they're going to go and plant other churches, and it's like a multiplying effort. It's one of the reasons we sow into international missions, into other church planters, because God is a God of multiplication. And there is power in the blessings of God, because he's able to accomplish far more than we ever could do with our own abilities at our full strength. I got a full strength ability that's this much, but God says, I'm going to take it and use it for this much. God can do amazing things in that. In fact, Ephesians 3:20 tells us this. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See, God is able to do more. He's able to do more through your life than you ever would have been able to do on your own. God can do more than we can imagine, more than we can even fathom that he's able to do with us. God can do more. When we're struggling, we've got to remember that God can take our small offering and do something great with it. When we're about to quit and we're ready to throw in the towel, we've got to remember that God can do more if we'll simply give him all. We'll give him all of what we've got and say, Lord, I trust you with it. He's able to do far more abundantly. Let me ask you the question, friend. What are you asking God to do in your life? See, it says he's able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think. But sometimes we stop asking God. We stop saying, God, I've got this much of a gift, but God, I'm asking you to do something great with it. And I believe that what Jesus demonstrates is that we've got to take our gift and present it to God and ask a blessing over it and say, Lord, would you do something great with this gift? What are you asking God to do in your own life? What breakthroughs are you asking God for this church? Please be praying for your church that God would do amazing works through this house. See, we serve a God that's able to do far more abundantly than we even ask or even think. And God is looking for people who are willing to say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you with everything. And are willing to offer it up and say, God, here's what I've got. My cup doesn't seem that big. Maybe your cup's not this big. But God says, pour it out and let me fill it up again. And then pour it out and let me fill it up again. And before long, God's going to give you a bigger cup. But it starts by us saying, Lord Jesus, this is what I've got. It's not much, but it's what you've given me. I want to be faithful with what you've given me. I only got a five loaves and a two fish sort of lunchbox, God, but yeah, I don't have 1,000 pizzas kind of lunchbox. But Lord Jesus, I trust that if I take my gift and your power, I've got everything I need. I don't need anything else. See, God's able to take our limited and totally inadequate resources, and he's able to do, give them back to us in such a way that we're able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever thought was possible. That's the sort of God we serve. Jesus feeds 5,000 hungry men with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. What sort of multiplication miracles does Jesus want to do in your life? I believe it begins by us saying, Jesus, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but here's what I got. I trust you with it. I ask your blessing over it. Let me ask you, if God can do all of that through just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, what sort of amazing things does he want to do through the gifts represented in this room, through his church here in Simi Valley? What does he want to do through your life? Say, man, my gift's this big, but yeah, and then their gift is this big, and the person next to you is their gift's this big, and then we add them all together, and we say, Lord, what would you do with this? What would you do with us? God, how would you use our lives to make a difference that would just change the world forever, Lord Jesus? I believe God wants to change our city. I believe he wants to pour out his spirit in such a way that the world will look and say, how did that happen from there? And that only happens if we'll be willing to say, God, this is all I got, but it's enough for you, because you're the God of miracles. You're the God who can do anything. You can do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever thought. And I believe God wants to transform our city for his kingdom's sake. And that transformation begins as we're willing to say, God, I'm going to open my hands. I'm going to stop clenching my gifts. I'm going to stop clenching my time, clenching all the things that you've given me. And instead, I'm going to say, God, I don't think it's probably enough, but I trust you with it, because it's what you've given me. It's what you've given me. It's the talents you've given me. It's the time you've given me. It's the treasure you've given me. So, Lord Jesus, I want to take my 5 loaves and my 2 fish, and I want you to do what you want to do, because I know it's going to be so much better than anything I would have ever done with it, Lord Jesus. Church, would you pray with me as we respond to the Lord this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love people like us. God, that we thank you that even though we don't often feel it, though we don't always recognize it, that you love us and you sought out us. You searched for us when we were lost. And though we don't feel like our gifts are enough, we trust, God, that our gift plus your power is everything that we need. So, Lord, today we want to bring with you our whole lives, saying to you, Lord, that we trust that you're able to do more with our lives than we ever could have done on our own. So today we thank you for the reminder that lost and hurting people matter to you. Maybe that's us today. Maybe you're reminded that God loves you today, that your life matters to God today. Perhaps, Lord, you're reminding us, you're stirring our hearts for compassion for our city, for compassion for our neighbors, for compassion for our coworkers and our friends and our fellow moms and dads on the baseball fields and the soccer fields and the places that you send us, Lord. Maybe you're stirring us for compassion for the people in our world. Lord, we ask you, we invite you to break our hearts for what breaks yours. Help us to love people, Lord Jesus, as you love people. To love like you love. And Jesus, today we're reminded that we can only pour out what's been poured into us. God, if we're dry today, if we're thirsty today, would you pour out your spirit in us today? Would you fill us up, God, today, that we might be fully equipped to do what you want us to do? Some of us are empty this morning, God. Fill us up, we pray. Fill us up this morning, we pray. Fill my life, Lord, with your spirit today, I pray. I need you, Lord God. Your word declares, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Lord, we say, do it in us. Do it in me, Lord. Do that in my life, God. May my life be a fountainhead of your grace, of your love, not only for my family, but for my neighborhood, not only for my neighborhood, but for my city. God, would you use my heart? And out of my heart would flow rivers of living water that are not of my own, but they come from you, from the Spirit of God. Would you fill me up, Lord, today? Jesus, we invite you to use the gifts that we do have today to make a difference in the lives of others. God, we choose to stop comparing the size of our gift to the size of our neighbor's gift. And we say, Lord, what you've given me, I want to be faithful with. Would you take my 5 loaves and my 2 fish and do something great? Something that you and you alone get the glory for. In Jesus' name. Finally, with every head bowed and eye closed in this place, perhaps you're here and you've never received the love of Jesus. Maybe you're within the sound of my voice and you've never made that commitment to following Jesus. You've never received his free gift of grace and mercy for your sins. Perhaps like me, when I was invited to come into a church and I heard the good news of Jesus, I responded and I was saved. Perhaps today is the day of your salvation. Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you will acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. So there's something important about agreeing with someone here about it. So in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do just that with every head bowed and eye closed. If that's you, you say, I want to say yes to Jesus today. I don't believe you're here by mistake. So if that's you today, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand and lift up your eyes so I can agree with you in prayer? If that's you today, I just want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, we invite you to do what you want to do. We love you. We celebrate you. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, church, we're going to receive of our tithes and our offerings in just a moment. If you are a guest with us,